great to have New York baseball back where it belongs. Finally, all the talk. I feel like the last time I was this excited about both the Mets and the Yankees was preseason, maybe February, maybe March. But finally, here we are. What the hell day is it? Oh, yeah, it's May 22nd. How can I forget? One of the great anniversaries in my life. Sorry, honey, but I loved him first, the day the Mets traded for Mike Piazza. More on that later. But I have not been this excited about both these two teams in a very long time. And, you know, there's differences between the two. We talked about this with the Yankees where you have to trust that the Yankees are going to figure it out at some point, even though we criticize Brian Cashman. And by the way, he welcomed it. He brought that on, saying, come after him. I forget the exact word that he said, but may blame him. Well, we did. Convict me is what he was saying. Oh, convicted. Guilty. Didn't build the team good enough. Again. Anyway, we'll find out more about that in the postseason. But Cashman, while he did say that, said, don't count us out yet. And he was right. Do not count us out yet. And then after we saw the Yankees over this tough 14-game stretch, forget about what they did to the Reds, and you expect them to go out there. And now, look, you have to win the games, and they did just that. You expect them to go out there and beat the Reds, beat the A's. The Yankees have always done that. Beat the teams they're supposed to beat. But what they showed me against the Rays and the Blue Jays over that stretch of 2 weeks, that was enough to know that this is, right now, the best team in the American League. I don't care what the Rays' record is. Rays were hot. They are as good as they can be right now going into that series. The first one at the Trop a couple weeks ago. And the Yankees were without Aaron Judge at that point and still showed the toughness that I thought separated them from a team like the Rays. Not to mention that they will be getting Judge back, which you saw the damage he could do when the series returned home in the Bronx for four games. You saw what happened in Toronto. So the Yankees are only going to get healthier. Now, look, if they don't, that's a totally different conversation. But they're only going to get healthier with Rodon eventually, like if he's a real dude. Finally get to see Ben Roethlisberger. I wasn't sure about him, but he looked pretty good. Hey, he exists. Look at that. Anyway, Rodon, Stanton coming back. And here's the other thing about the Yankees. You know that they are going to add. Brian Cashman does every single year. Is it the top guy that's out there? Maybe, maybe not. But he's going to add more than one piece. Like, I have full confidence the Yankees will add a legitimate arm in their bullpen. I have full confidence the Yankees, if needed at the time being, will add another starter. If needed, they will add another bat, whether it be to, you know, in left field, whether it be via the bench, whatever. They will add another bat. So Cashman was right when he said, don't count us out. And it only took a couple of weeks after that where things were looking very, very bleak. And the Yankees, remember, going into that Rays series, they were on the verge. They were in last place. They were on the verge. If they got swept in that series, they would have been looking at a 12-game deficit out of first place and 12 games back. That's a big deal. Excuse me, out of first place. 12 games out of first place, but in last place. That's a big deal. And yet, all they had to do was win a game, and they should have really won 2 out of 3 with the 6-0 lead before Cole blew it. But it showed me something, and then they built off of that, and now forget it. Now they're clicking on all cylinders. I really believe the Yankees are the best team in the American League right now, and maybe the best team in all of baseball, and they're going to get better. The big question is going to be, like it always is with them, is it going to be enough in October? Is Volpe, for example, going to be enough of a difference maker in October? Is Judge going to do what he has done in the regular season last year, this year, what he did in Toronto? Is he going to be able to do that in the postseason and carry his team to a World Series? I think he will. And then you look at the Mets on the other side of town where it was looking even worse because the Mets weren't as hurt. They weren't as injured as the Yankees were. There were no excuses. The Yankees had a bunch of excuses. Well, we're banged up. We're missing our best player. With the Mets, their lineup was basically their lineup. Outside of Omar Narvaez, and they may get him back soon, their lineup was full. It was whole. And they just weren't getting it done. And the rotation, you know, Scherzer has been here for the most part, just not very good. Verlander was out, obviously, over a month, but he started to come back, and the Mets still weren't winning games, getting swept in Detroit with Verlander and Scherzer both pitching in that series for the first time all year, back-to-back. So the Mets were losing to dreadful teams, looking like they were playing awful baseball, you know, getting picked off of the base paths, doing stupid things to beat themselves, all of the above. And it changes that quickly over the stretch of 5 games to where the Mets obviously have won 5 straight, where they do so in taking 2 out of 3 from the Rays when they were on the verge of losing another series to the Rays, to anybody, and down to their final out in the ninth inning before Alvarez hit that big home run. Alonso ends up winning it. Obviously, the Vientos two-run homer. You know, things changed for the Mets. And I'll get to this in a second, which is the key part of all this. Things changed for the Mets when they called up Vientos. He hit a big two-run homer in that game. They ended up winning that game off the bat of the youngsters with a couple of big home runs and then Alonso. So they had an influx of power, big home runs. And it kind of, you could tell that night, let them exhale. Buck, Alonso, whoever. There was an exhale there. A euphoric victory. Best win of the year by far. They had to make it stick that next day. What did they do? They went out there and made it stick the next day with another good pitching performance. You know, that's the other thing, too. Kodai Senga, Tyler McGill, and obviously Scherzer and Verlander over the course of the weekend. But Friday night when they resume play after that 2 out of 3 against Tampa, they go out there, and even though Carrasco got lit up, as usual, stop me if you've heard this before, Carlos Carrasco got lit up, but then they go out there and use the bats. They pound they pound the Guardian pitching with their bats. And again, comeback fashion, showing signs of the team that won 101 games a year ago, looking like the old Mets, not the new Mets, the old Mets. And then, of course, the game gets washed out on Saturday, the double dip Sunday, which I was there for game one of that doubleheader, took my mom out for Mother's Day. Got there late, we got there 40 minutes early, didn't get a bobblehead. How is that even possible? 40 minutes early, I pull up there. Not that I care about the bobblehead, I was going to give it to my niece and nephew. Not that I'm above caring about bobbleheads, I used to love them, I just don't anymore. But I would have given it to my niece and nephew. Hey, it grows grass, look at that, Francisco Lindor, your new favorite player. Let's go to a Mets game together. Metsies, Metsies, Metsies. Anyway, didn't get there because I was only 40 minutes early. I guess you have to be there an hour and 40 minutes early to be able to get the bobblehead. Anyway, beautiful day. We get to watch Scherzer go out there and dominate. And again, the Mets bullpen, Ottavino stinks. See you, somebody get rid of him. I told you last week, trade him. But anyway, Ottavino, the weak link in that bullpen currently, gives up the lead. And the Mets come right back and answer back. And then the dominant performance from Verlander, Lindor with the timely hits. It was a perfect weekend for the Mets. And it has been a great 5 days. While the Yankees look like the best team in American League and maybe all of baseball, the Mets desperately needed a stretch here to turn this team around and get us believing in them, and more importantly, to get them believing in them. And now what you've seen here is a confident group that is the foundation of that starting rotation and can build from there. A nice mix of the, as they say, baby Mets. I hate that term, but Lindor brought it up and it's going to become a thing here. The baby Mets to a certain extent. But more importantly, saving the best for last, the reason why the Mets have won 5 straight, the reason why what the Mets have done is impressive, the number one takeaway from this run, Lindor, Alonso, Marte, Scherzer, Verlander, their biggest stars. You can talk about Vientos, you can talk about Beatty and Alvarez, and I know everybody loves to talk about the youngsters, but it's about the veteran stars doing their job. Lindor came through huge. Obviously, Alonso has come through huge all year long with the home runs. And Marte starting to show some life, although he got picked off at first base, and that's unacceptable. Marte starting to show some life. Because without that, nothing else means anything. If the Mets don't get production from Lindor, top-notch production from Lindor, if they don't get production from Pete Alonso, if they don't get production from their all-star a year ago, one of their all-stars, Starling Marte a year ago, it doesn't matter. If they don't have Verlander and Scherzer dominating the way that they did yesterday, it doesn't matter. You can call up Vientos, you can call up Mauricio, I don't care who you call up. They aren't winning anything. So you have both teams now living up to the early season lofty expectations. Judge back, healthy. Bader back, made a huge difference. Yankees look like a different team right now. The best team in the American League, maybe in all of baseball. And the Mets finally getting things going. Whether it's that foundation of a starting rotation with Scherzer and Verlander, and even throwing Kodai Senga, or that lineup and the top guys in the lineup with some contributions, of course, and some youthful energy with the baby Mets. And it has been fun to watch. 877-337-6666. 66 is the number to call. I wanted to split it up a little, Mets Yankees, because I don't want to divide us. We need to come together as a New York baseball fan base here. This is good. We get to watch Aaron Judge. We get to watch Pete Alonso. We get to watch Garrett Cole. And we get to watch Scherzer and Verlander. Throw in Severino, whoever else you want. This is New York. Should be nothing but the best. And we have two teams that were built to be the best. And finally, are starting to look it. We got the Subway Series coming up in a couple of weeks. Finally, we can enjoy the start to the baseball season. Or not even the start to the baseball season. We can enjoy where we're at now near Memorial Day here. But things have picked up after 6 weeks or so. And season back on for the Mets. Same with the Yankees, where the season wasn't over, but at least you looked at that division, maybe thinking, I know a lot of fans think this. They may not admit it. You know, very few of us can actually go out there and say what we're thinking, whether it's right or wrong, whether you want to take the risk or not. But a lot of fans may have looked at the division leads for each team, with the Mets and Yankees being where they were in the standings in the AL East and the NL East, respectively, and said, you know what, division over. Well, since then, the Yanks, and while you knew it was going to be postseason for the Yankees, you said, oh, they're not going to be able to catch the Rays. Since then, a few weeks ago, the Yankees are now just 6 games back in the loss column, 5.5 overall in the Rays, and are in third place. So they have already climbed over both the Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. And 5.5 game deficit, and then we're not even at Memorial Day, you know what that is? That's nothing. It's nothing. The Mets, while many of us, including myself, said the NL East was over, yet again, I know, I don't learn. You look at the standings now, the Mets are just 5 games back of the Braves. Again, 6 in the loss column, only 4 wins behind the red-hot, unbeatable, never-lose Atlanta Braves. 5 games, you know what that is? Much like Carmelo's career with the Knicks. Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. 5 games back. The division race in both leagues. Back on. And I'm here to talk about it with you till midnight, 877-337-6666. We'll get into other stuff, of course, throughout the course of the night, like Carmelo and the number retirement, potentially. I thought he was already retired. When did Carmelo retire? Today he retired? I thought he was already retired. What are we getting into that for? Well, we'll get into that a little bit later on, but we start with the baseball, 877-337-6666. Just getting started, going to midnight. It's Sal Licata on the Fan.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. We'll get into the mellow stuff, maybe a little NFL scheduling a little bit later on. But it's time for us to enjoy some New York baseball for a change, isn't it? The Mets season back on. Yankees, best team in the American League. What do you guys have to say about it? 877-337-6666. Paul is in Yonkers. Paul?
Hey, Sal. It's a pleasure.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Why ain't Judge a Met? Why ain't he in the middle of this lineup?
What do I have to do? I mean, what? I just poured everything I got. Well, maybe I got a little bit more. I got to save it. I got 5 hours to go. But I just gave you a very strong, passionate, informed, multi-layered open about both the Mets and the Yankees as it pertains to May 22nd, 2023. And the first call I get, you know, because we had this issue the other night after one of the great Met wins of the year. I think it was last Thursday night. It must have been. It must have been Thursday night. I don't know. It was one of those nights last week. I get them all mixed up. Anyway, we came on and talked about how great a Mets win it was. And the first caller called from Texas saying that he was leaving the Rangers game in Texas and that Buck Showalter should be fired. Now, obviously, that has nothing to do with what I just discussed in the show. The second caller wanted to talk about the Baltimore Orioles and how the Mets win over the Rays helped them out. And I thought to myself, what am I doing here? And now I'm on at 7 o'clock at night, which is a decent hour, right? It's nice to not be on the overnights and be heard by a different audience at 7 o'clock, a normal hour. Like, I feel my energy is great. I don't need any C4. Although it's great. Check it out. I don't need any extra energy. I'm all ready to go. The New York teams have been playing great. I'm fired up here. I do that strong, passionate, open, multi-layered, different angles. And the first call, all due respect, Paul, but I can't take the call, is about Aaron Judge being a Met. I mean, do we got to go over this again? I'm going to leave that for somebody else. I can't do it. I'm not going over it again. Look, I've said this before, usually during the overnight, but I'll say it again. If I got to talk to myself for 5 hours, I'll do it. I will do it. I don't want to, but I will. Rather than field calls about something that has nothing to do with the show or the topics that we're talking about. Now, if you want to talk about life or Vanderpump Rules or certain movies, I'm here for you. I will not talk about Aaron Judge to the Mets because it's a ridiculous idea. It was ridiculous then. It's even more ridiculous now. Now, let's get back to the calls. 877-337-6666. Try it again. Philip is calling from Jamaica, Queens. Hi, Philip.
Hello, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. It's great to speak to you.
How are you, Philip?
Fine. Anyway, I want to talk about the Yankees. They're playing great baseball. They're winning 8 out of 11 games. And here's my question. I say let sleeping dogs lie. The Yankees are winning with the lineup they have. They don't have Stanton. They don't have Donaldson. I don't want to hear how much they make. If the lineup is winning, don't tinker it. I don't think you should tinker it and put Stanton and Donaldson in.
Well, let Donaldson a different story than Stanton. You can't keep Stanton out of the lineup. Josh Donaldson, look, when he becomes, if and when he gets healthy, he's going to get an opportunity. Now, how limited that opportunity is going to be, who knows? I mean, I have a feeling the Yankees are going to give him a run, whether it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, where he'll be the primary third baseman. You want to get him in the lineup and see if he could go off because they still believed in him. I mean, I thought he was washed up before they made the trade for him, but the Yankees still believe in him, so we'll see. But that at least is a question mark. There is no question in regards to Giancarlo Stanton. When Stanton comes back, he's going to be in the lineup every day.
But my point is, he has to get his timing back. Meanwhile, you're taking out someone in the lineup whose timing, the lineup is really clicking out. Do you really want to tinker it? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Oh, you don't have to worry about it right now. And yes, you. I mean, why would you not want Giancarlo Stanton back in there? Who exactly do you want? Jake Bowers?
Well, he's playing well. I mean, they are winning with him.
Right. You want more Willie Calhoun?
I know Stanton is great.
Well, thank you,
But it's just, the lineup is winning now, and I'm afraid if you tinker it, you might.
Nah, but you're talking about, and thank you for the call, Philip. I understand what you're saying. You don't want to mess with what's going on now. But remember, it is only May 22nd. A lot of changes are going to be made from now through the end of the season. And you don't say, well, you know what? We're going so good right now. Everything's going so well right now. I'm not going to take Willie Calhoun out. Let's leave Willie Calhoun in there and let Stanton sit on the bench for a little bit. No, you don't do that. Giancarlo Stanton will be back in there. Now, Donaldson's a little bit of a different story because the Yankees do have enough infielders. I mean, this was an issue going into the year where you were figuring, well, how are they going to work at bats for everybody here? With Donaldson at third, with Volpe at shortstop, Glaber at second. You know, obviously you got LeMahieu, who you want to work in there as well. It's a good problem to have, but the Yankees need to figure it out. I personally, and it's not like LeMahieu is raking tearing the cover off the ball or raking currently. He's hitting, 250 or whatever it is with LeMahieu. I personally prefer LeMahieu over Donaldson, but you can make a case that they could give Donaldson a little bit of a run and see who gets hot and just ride the hot hand. You know, and the reason why we talk about the average with LeMahieu, he should be a 300 hitter. I mean, when LeMahieu's going well, he's hitting the ball, he has a high average. That's what he does. So maybe the Yankees look to get improvement there. But you can't worry about that now. Everything's perfect right now. Don't mess with it. No, they could be better. And by the way, as much as I think that they are the best team in the American League, they still have to go out there and prove it. They do need to get better. Tommy is calling from Long Island. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Sal. What's up?
How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing all right tonight. You know one thing? I hate the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan, right?
Seems now, unhealthy. It seems like, I mean, I used to do the same, but it seems like an unhealthy relationship. I know from experience.
It's not that unhealthy. I don't hate him that much.
Okay. Well, there you go.
All right. Listen, why is Sanchez catching the first game? And why is Bogle back DH? And Put Alvarez in there for D and Sanchez as a DH. What are we doing here?
Put Alvarez in there for where?
No, to catch.
Right, and have Sanchez. You want Alvarez to catch both games?
No, I understand that. But.
Well, you said why is Alvarez not or why is Sanchez catching yesterday? So do you understand it, in fact?
No, I know that's a doubleheader.
Okay.
All right, what I'm talking about is why is Mogo back still in that slot?
I mean, I can't explain that. They like Vogelbach. So the only answer is this, and I don't have to talk to anybody with the Mets to figure this out.
Right.
The only reason why Daniel Vogelbach, and maybe we can figure this out together, Tommy, watch this. Why do you think Daniel Vogelbach is in the Mets lineup at all? Why do you think, based on what you've seen from him?
I think because he walks.
Right. That's it. End of story. No, stop there. You had it. We had it. We figured it out. Because he walks. That's it. He does nothing else.
Well, he gets on first, he's an automatic out if he runs.
I agree. You get a pinch run for him, or he's going to be. No, I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just, you asked the question, why is Vogel back in there? And we both got to the conclusion rather easily that because he walks.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Agreed. I agree with you. And thank you for the call. I agree with you 100%. Vogel back does nothing except walk. Like, literally nothing as far as it pertains to Major League Baseball. Except walk. That's it. He draws a walk. It's predictable. He walks. He doesn't hit. He passes the baton, potentially, for the next guy. Now, the big problem with that is that when he does get on base, he can't run. So, even if it is a walk to lead off an inning, you've got a problem there. Or let's say it's a walk to lead off the ninth inning and you're, you know, trailing by a run. You can get a pinch run for him. He doesn't swing the bat enough, and when he doesn't hit it far enough. He's got zero power. He doesn't hit for a high enough average. That's why he doesn't like swinging the bat. I mean, I get it. If you can make $2 million a year somehow at the big leagues, play Major League Baseball, and all you got to do is stand up there and have a good eye, God bless him. But I'd like one day for somebody to explain to me, and this is what I love, because the Mets front office, the analytical people, they all think that I'm the dumb one. And I look at them like, you guys are employing this guy. You have a team with the highest payroll in Major League Baseball, and this is what you come up with? Daniel Vogelbach? Like, he's a good Oakland A. You're running the New York Mets. So I'm confused. And by the way, last year at the trade deadline, I was not opposed to Vogelbach because I thought it would help them. And it did to a certain extent. But I also didn't think Vogelbach would be the significant piece. I didn't think that was the prized possession of the trade deadline for the Mets. Turned out it was him and Darren Ruff. And we know how that worked out. Not very well. But you've watched now Vogelbach dating back to when the Mets got him last year and this year. And again, I ask, and this is not even my opinion. This is now fact. Let's just go with the facts here. Does Daniel Vogelbach have versatility? Which is something that all teams talk about now, how they love to have versatility, right? Does Daniel Vogelbach have any versatility whatsoever? The answer is no. Because even just hitting, he can't hit lefties. So even just hitting, there's zero versatility. Can he play a position, like one position in the field? One, single. Can he play a position, like wear a glove and play a position? The answer to that, again, is no. Can he run well? Again, we say no. Does he hit with power? Sadly, again, we say no. He cannot. So he can't hit lefties. He can't run. He doesn't hit for average. He doesn't hit with power. No position. Did I say that one already? What exactly does he do? Oh, he walks. Okay. Occasionally, he walks. So to answer your question, and it was, you know, took me a while to get there, but I don't know why he's in the lineup. I know why they put him in the lineup. He would not be on my team. They've got to do better. And now when you have Mark Vientos, why not give Vientos a run as the DH? You could have him play third. You want to spell Beatty against a tough lefty? Sure. You know, so this way you could have, let's say against a lefty, you could have Pham in left, Canna, DH, and Vientos at third. Works for me. But Vogelbach should not be the primary DH, nor should there be a platoon. It should be Vientos, or if you want to give him a day off, and like I said, get one of those other guys in there, Pham or Canna, so be it. Vogelbach should not be on the team. He's got zero versatility. Cannot do anything else. They're going to knock Vientos for saying, well, all he could do is... Think about this. This is rich. The knock on Vientos, which is why the Mets took forever to bring him up here, was what? Well, he only plays corner positions. He plays third, which we have a third baseman. Two, if you want to throw in Escobar. Or he plays first base, which we have Alonso, who doesn't take a day off. So what are we going to do with him? What, only DH him? Yeah, you can't have a player that can only DH and play maybe a little third and a little first. But you have a player that can barely DH in Vogelbach. Anyway, enough about that. Ray is calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Sal. Great monologue.
Thank you, Ray.
I watched your show tonight on SNY.
Yeah, just a little while ago.
And when Martino brought up the fact that they're considering keeping Nito because he knows how to handle pitchers. The bottom line, him and Vogelbach were the reason we were in this mess because they're playing. The bottom line, Vogelbach should be out. He'll be the next one out the door. But to me, Nito should be DFA'd when Narvaez comes back.
Yeah, Narvaez on his way back. Remember, Narvaez is one of the big acquisitions that the Mets made, in addition to bringing their own guys back and replacing some of the starters in that rotation. Narvaez was the one guy in the lineup that was a big acquisition to try to change things up where you basically swapped James McCann for Omar Narvaez. And he'll be back, he'll be catching, but the Mets claim that they're going to have four catchers. Well, really, I only see two, Narvaez and Alvarez.
You're right, Sal. The bottom line is Nito's head would spin so fast I DFA'd him. He's had opportunities about 5 years now. He's not a major leaguer.
Well, how about Gary Sanchez?
At least I give Sanchez a chance to get some at-bats to see what he's got.
Yeah, I mean, for what reason? If you have Narvaez...
I know.
And they have Narvaez coming back. Now, let's say Gary Sanchez, he's going to get some opportunity to play here over the next week or so. Let's say Gary Sanchez goes on a tear and hits some homers. Okay. You want to tell me you're going to keep him on as a backup catcher, as a backup DH? I guess. If he's hot, sure. But, like, we already know what's up with Sanchez. He's done. He's toast. And the Yankees gave up on him. He was done then. He was done three years ago. The Yankees should have gave up on him long before they did. They traded him to the Twins. He did nothing with the Twins. He did nothing in the minors. And here come the Mets who signed Gary Sanchez. Fine, because he's an upgrade over Tomas Nito. But then don't tell me that Gary Sanchez or Tomas Nito are potentially going to send Francisco Alvarez down to the minors. Like, that is comical.
You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more when you said that tonight on SNY.
Right.
The bottom line is the kid rejuvenated this ball club, and he has a knack for the dramatics. He's getting clutch hits and clutch home runs and fell.
Correct.
He's got to be playing.
Correct. And now, and thank you for the call, Ray. Now, look, if Alvarez goes out there and struggles for 3 weeks and looks lost, then maybe you can make the case. But two things why I don't think that should even be the reason. Number one, he's not going to. Alvarez has dealt with the adversity. He has struggled. He looked lost. He looked overmatched last year. He didn't look very good this year. You could see him trying to feel his way. Now he's confident. Now he's feeling it. He is ascending. He is now ready to do damage, and he's done it in the biggest spots. Not to mention that, what's the Mets' biggest issue as far as what they're lacking in their lineup? Correct. Power. And what does Alvarez possess? Power. Big time, raw power. And they're considering sending him down because he's got options? Not to mention who it's for. Sending Alvarez down for Gary Sanchez, a washed Gary Sanchez. Or Tomas Nito, who doesn't belong in the big leagues? Getting his eyesight fixed or not, Tomas Nito at best is a backup catcher. And on a team with two good catchers, with Narvaez and Francisco Alvarez, there's no way. Like, you just can't make that decision and be taken seriously. You can make that decision, sure. You can't make that decision and being taken seriously. Anybody who's watching Alvarez can see it blatantly right in front of their eyes. Don't look at the numbers. Watch him. He's a different kid. He's a different animal. He's cut differently. He's a beast. He's showing it now. Look, to have success, you have to have some confidence. But to have real confidence, you have to have some success. Chicken or the egg, I know, it's a thing. In this case, Alvarez now has gotten through the early adversity in his rookie season, or dating back to last year, and is starting to have some success. Big hits, big home run. He's starting to have some success. Now he's really confident. Now he's starting to feel and believe he belongs. You cannot, under any circumstance, even entertain the idea of sending him back. Mark is calling from Seagate. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Sal? How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I wanted to say was, Yankee fans are going to hate me for this. You might kill me for this. But I like to say that Judge is not a winner. Jeter was a winner. You look at Jeter's entire career. Jeter, like, was clutch whenever he needed him postseason. Judge is not a winner.
Well, I mean, he's got to prove that. I believe he will be a winner, but I've also believed that ever since I've saw him in 2017. So I said the 2018, he's a guy that's going to carry this team. 2019 and so on. And here we are in 2023 now, and it still hasn't happened. There's one thing left for Aaron Judge to prove. One thing. That is that he can carry this team. Obviously, it's not just by himself, but he's got to perform to the highest of levels throughout a postseason. That is something he hasn't done yet. He's got to do it.
So I agree with you, but I'm saying is that, like, it's not like we haven't given him a chance. This is his sixth year in the big leagues, let alone he's proven himself through the regular season. Like, through the regular season, agree, he carries the team. But comes postseason, he's trash. He's absolute trash.
Oh, he's got to do it. You're right, he's got to do it. And he's had opportunities, but does that mean you think he'll never do it? Or does that mean that, hey, one of these years he might?
No, I don't think he's got it in him. I think he's not a postseason guy. When it comes to the big stage, let's look
at it. Well, you don't think Judge has hit big home runs?
Sal, if you go back to the big stage last season, when he was on the run for 62, I don't know if you remember, at the end of the season, it took him a week and a half to hit his 60th, and then a week and a half to hit his 61st.
Yeah, but he did it.
Fastballs down the pipe.
But he did it, Mark. Look, I get what you're saying, and thank you for the call. I get what you're saying about Judge. He's got to prove himself. In this town, especially if you're a Yankee, the only thing that matters is what you do in the postseason. You don't have to be a superstar, but if you perform in the postseason, you become a hero. Look at Harrison Bader. Nobody liked that trade. Brian Cashman made it. Yankee fans are like, what? You giving up on Monty for this guy who's in a walking boot? Who the hell's Harrison Bader? What does he do? You see his, 230 career average, whatever it was at the time. You're thinking, Harrison Bader? Then you watch him in October. The guy's hitting home runs left and right, and all of a sudden you're saying, Harrison Bader, baby! Get me the T-shirt! It's Bader time! Or whatever the saying is that they do with Bader. Judge has to do it in the postseason. Stanton has had his run. A-Rod years ago had his run. It doesn't mean that just because he hasn't gotten it done yet, he won't. Matter of fact, I wouldn't bet against him. I've seen enough to know that I trust Judge in a big moment. In clutch moments. But he's got to get it done in October. That's where it matters. And by that, I don't mean in a first-round division series against, the AL Central opponent. I'm talking about he's got to get it done getting this team to a World Series by performing at the same level he does in the regular season in the postseason. 877-337-6666. More of your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on The Fan.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Sal Licata back on The Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Talking some Yankees and Mets baseball. We'll get into some of the Melo stuff and some of the NFL flex scheduling stuff. What else did I have on my notes? Oh, the freaking Heat. I mean, do you believe it? The Heat and Pat Riley? Of course. Of course. Jimmy Butler, a beast. But just seeing Pat Riley have all this success, it still bothers me. Oh, and then the Piazza trade. Oh, I love all these topics. We'll get into them because we got plenty of time to do so. 877-337-6666. Chris is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Sal, I love the opening. Our Mets are back.
Yes, they are, Chris. Finally. Hey, isn't it crazy, though? All year long, it's like, oh, my God. And then five games, and the feel is totally different.
I so appreciate the open. I needed it today. I was having a crummy day. I'm like, Sal's on. First off, I thought there was a Met game tonight, and I'm like, okay, no Mets. I wanted them to play because keep it rolling. But that's okay. And we got you, and I tell you something. What a turnaround. We got to build on it. I think we will. I'm starting to feel like it's really the antithesis of what last season was, right? Last season at this time, we're all like euphoric about they haven't lost the series. The team's going to win 800 games. And now, you know what? If they pace themselves and ramp it up, I'll take it. I'll take it, you know? We'll look back and we'll say, remember when we were so frantic in April?
Chris, there were people, and I was not one of them, but there were people, some writers, in fact, that were, I believe, uttered the words or wrote the words, worst team money can buy, in a comparison to the 92 team. Like, come on. Even when we said that this team might not be any good, we still thought it was going to be a playoff team. I mean, at the worst, they should be a playoff team. So there's no way that we thought it was going to be that bad. And I always held out some semblance of faith. Now, I do believe that there are signs that it's just not their year. The Diaz thing was number one. There are some other things along the way, too. But, I mean, now they've gotten themselves back into things where even just the 5-game winning streak looking good the way that they did it, like I said, with the veterans before, it does change the perception.
You know, no, Sal, yeah, I got two things quickly. You're so right. And the thing, you were saying this 2 weeks ago, of course, we love seeing these kids up, and they're so far looking good. But you're right. The kids alone are not going to do it. We needed to see those five people, six people that you've outlined. Now with the kids, now we might have something going. And that's what it took, because they could bring up every minor leaguer. If Lindor, Alonso, and the pitchers don't do their thing, the first two guys, it's still not going to matter. So I love the synergy. But I do think the energy of the young kids is great for the team.
It has helped. It has helped balance it out, Chris, no doubt about it. And thank you for the call. It has helped. And look, Vientos directly impacted their biggest win of the year. With that big 2-run game tying home, I know they gave it back up right after that, but still, that impacted his first game, the first night he got called up this year. Direct impact on the game. Not saying he's going to be a stud. Not saying he's got to be a mainstay on this team. I mean, I would give him a run at DH for the most part, or at least have his bat in the lineup, see what he could do, keep him going, see if he could get going against major league pitching the way that he was raking in the minor leagues. But just that call-up, although it took forever, it directly impacted the result of the biggest win of the year for the Mets, which they made stick by following up with a win that next afternoon. And then again, so this is Wednesday night, I guess, right? Because Thursday was the afternoon game, and then obviously Friday and Sunday were the other games against Cleveland. It was a huge moment. And obviously Alvarez with the big game-tying three-run homer down to their last out. Down three, a big three-run homer. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that. So, yeah, the youthful energy and obviously performance and power has been huge. And Beatty's their everyday third baseman. It's got to be a nice mix. A healthy balance, which I feel like they have. Charlie is calling from Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Sal, how we doing there, my man? What a great 5 days. I feel like I'm in Met heaven right now. What a difference from last Wednesday. We turn it around. We got 8-7 win against Tampa, and it's a different ball team.
And you wanted to give up on this team, Charlie?
I wasn't giving up on him. I just didn't like what I was seeing on the field.
No, I know. No, I don't blame you. How can I blame you?
Yeah. And then they're going first to third. They're running bases, stealing bases. This is a different team before last Wednesday, and this is what we knew we had. And Marte, I almost didn't believe it. He got an extra base hit. I don't remember the last time he got an extra base hit.
I think that's a huge difference. They need to get production from that spot. We look at left field. We look at DH. We look at catcher. We look at third base at times, you know, before Beatty especially, and say these are issues that have given the Mets trouble now for 2 years plus or for a year plus. And you never look at right field because Starling Marte, his name has been in the lineup. He's going to be there every day. He was an all-star a year ago. But it's imperative that he performs. And you see what type of a difference it makes to that lineup when Marte can produce. He's got to produce. Simple as that. And I think he will now.
Without a doubt. Marte's got to produce. Alonso's got to do it. Lindor's got to do it. We still got holes in the bottom of the lineup, and I don't care. But when the other guys in the front of the lineup start hitting, it makes up for the back end of the lineup.
Not as many holes, though, as it may seem. Now, I think they do need one bat, and if it's not going to be Vientos at DH, and I'm fine if it's not, but they need to get a real DH. Like Vogelbach, all kidding aside, I'm not trying to pile on him. They got to get a real DH. It's time. And if you're going to do it, You know, if you're going to get a DH that can't do anything other than DH, go get one. I'm not saying you got to get Edgar Martinez, for goodness sake, but go get a DH. I mean, the great DHs were actually great hitters. Vogelback, if you're going to be like Vogelback offensively, you better be able to play some other position so they could get somebody that can help this team. And thank you for the call, Charlie. They could get somebody that could help this team better than Vogelback. Do more for him. You know, maybe walk a little bit. Not as much as Vogelback, but if he walks a little bit and gets some hits, like actually swings the bat, now you're a little bit better than Vogelback. And maybe, I know this is like, I'm really reaching here, maybe you can find somebody who can run the bases. Maybe you could find somebody who can, I can't even believe I said, play the field. Can you imagine? Think of all the good you could do with that roster spot that they are keeping tied up in a guy who only walks on occasion. It's comical. I mean, what functioning team actually thinks that's a good idea? Again, he's a good A. He's not a good Met. How was that a good idea? Not opinion. Fact. What does he do? How can you tell me that there is no ball player available on earth? There's not a ball player available that you could go get that could do more to help your team win. I got news for you. I'd rather have Daniel Murphy DH than Vogelback. Right now. Like, get him off the Ducks right now. If you're not going to say, if he doesn't have to run, he doesn't have to play the field, Murphy, I bet you could be a better hitter right now than Daniel Vogelback. I know this. He's going to swing the bat. But you see my point? Like, go get a ball player that could help you win games, whether it's defensively, whether it's on the base paths. A guy who walks. That's it. Wow. Anyway, they could improve there, but Alvarez, Beatty, these guys are lengthening out the lineup, and you could live with either Escobar or Canna or Pham toward the bottom of that order as well. 877-337-6666. More of your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan.